I'm Melissa White, and welcome to the Spirit Room Podcast. This is a show to help inspire you to live your life to the fullest, but really to learn about those that guide us, our unseen helpers, guides, angels, loved ones in spirit that walk beside us in this life. I'll share with you personal experiences from my life as a professional medium and mentor. I'll also offer you insight into working with the spirit world and introduce you to guests that I find fascinating and that might lead you on your own journey to further discover your own soul's gifts. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hello and welcome back to the Spirit Room. I'm Melissa White and I'm here today with a lovely guest. Her name is Jackie Lepereau and she is a healing arts practitioner. And she has agreed to come and to chat with us today about a variety of things, but specifically there's some signs from spirit that she has received that just absolutely blew me away when I was reading about them. She posted a blog post a while ago about this. So I thought it would be a perfect chance for her to come and share this all with you. I know that you all love to hear these stories. So welcome, Jackie.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks for having me on. This is one of my most favorite topics to talk about.
It's so uplifting and it's so fun. And I think that there's some type of just magical aspect of all those little miracles that we experience. And what I noticed too is when we talk about them, it seems to me that like they just keep happening, or you talk about them and then it gives someone else hope that they can also experience those types of things. So I think it's really, really awesome to have conversations about all of that.
And Melissa, since I've been talking about it, I've had so many people come to me with their own stories. And it's just about opening our eyes, I think, and acknowledging that there are signs all around us all the time. Kind of pulls them in. Yeah.
And I think, too, it's like then you know that it's possible. I think sometimes there's some people that might just not even know that it could happen, or they're not aware to look at life that way. So it really kind of makes life, I think, all the more enchanting when there is that possibility, that potential in the back of your mind that miracles are available to us. And sometimes they come in a form that we might not expect, but it's kind of wild when you think about how so many things have to align in just a certain way in order for us to notice that sign in that moment. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and some of them are really subtle signs. And so that gets you questioning, was it, wasn't it? And others are just so in your face that you almost can't believe it, that you can't accept it almost.
That's right. Well, like yours. So why don't we start from the beginning? You start where you want to start with your series of amazing signs that you receive.
I guess, thank you. I guess the first one I really experienced was when I was in the mid-90s and I had just gone through my kind of dark period of the soul kind of thing. And I was seeing a therapist and I'd had a dream about having some angel wings cut off my back. And I took this dream and it was one of those dreams that didn't feel like dreams. And it just sat with me for such a long time. I took it into my therapist's office and we chatted about it. And she had a very kind of analytical, symbolic interpretation of it, but it just did not sit right with me at all. And I left that session feeling like there was something more, because it felt kind of magical to me, this dream. Mm-hmm. And I left her offices and she worked from home, and I crossed her garden, opened her garden gate and closed the garden gate. And as I turned around, there were all these white feathers swirling around me on the ground, like literally. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And it was around the time that I had just read the Celestine Prophecy. Mm-hmm. And so I was really becoming aware of synchronicities. And I kind of had always been interested in anything paranormal, if you want to call it that, or spirit or whatever. But that was the first sign that maybe there was a connection that was very, very real. And following on from that, I saw a lot of hearts was another thing that came. And it was always when I was feeling really, really down and I'd be out in nature and I'd just see moss hearts, or somebody had made a rock formation of hearts or a heart shape on a tree. And like, a lot of my clients and friends and family all know when they see hearts, they, you know, they think of me now because I'm constantly taking thousands of pictures of these hearts that I see everywhere. And every time I saw them, I kind of felt this very deep knowing, I guess, that in that moment I was not alone. That the mental mind takes over, right? And you kind of explain it away and whatever. And then it would come back. I was constantly reminded. Those are the kind of very gentle ones. I've also had, about 8 years ago, my uncle passed away. And it was very sudden and very traumatic for a lot of the family. And I was driving down an arbitrary road in France, where I lived at the time, and listening to the radio. And I don't know if you remember that song by Mike and the Mechanics, In the Living Years.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I was listening to this song, and it was very, very moving because my uncle's name was Mike.
Mm.
And the song is, the lyrics are very moving. And as I'm listening to this song, I'm thinking about him. And then at the end of the song, the DJ, he says, this is the title of the song, bye. And he goes, Mike, 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 Mike. And have you ever heard a radio or a DJ on a radio stutter like a broken record?
No, never.
Never happens. Ever happens. No. And in this very moment, it just repeated. Anyway, I recently told this to my aunt, who his wife, and she told me that that was their most favorite song.
Oh,
and that they
gosh.
Used to listen to it on repeat in their home all the time. It was their song.
Oh,
so it took me
how
a whole...
special is that?
It was amazing. I really didn't expect that, because for me, it was just a moment where I kind of connected. And again, I explained it away. But when I eventually told her 8 years later, she told me the meaning behind it.
Wow.
Yeah. And then what else have I got for you? I've got another moment where I live near Fort Langley. And I don't know if you know the amazing bakery called Blacksmith.
No,
I have a lot of gorgeous pastries, a lot of them French. And they have a pastry called a Queen Amand, which is a very unusual name from a very small part of France called Brittany. And it's a speciality there. It's not something you're going to find in bakeries anywhere else, really. Anyway, I woke up one Sunday morning and I got it in my head that I had to go and buy these Queen Amand for a friend of mine who happens to be French. So I literally jumped out of bed on a Sunday morning. Now, I'm a late sleeper, but this was like 8-9 o'clock in the morning. I put on my clothes and off I went, didn't even brush my teeth. Went off to go and buy these Queen Amand because I wanted to deliver them all the way in Coquitlam to my friend who lived there. So I had managed to deliver them to her, and she tells me that that was her godmother's most favorite pastry, and her godmother had passed away the night before. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It's something that you cannot explain logically, because why? Why would you even have that come into your mind as a random thought?
Completely.
That's the chances of that being random are so, so slim. And then also that you felt that compelled to just get up and do it. And
compelled, I mean, it was a huge mission to go from Fort Langley to Coquitlam on a Sunday morning.
And also just the connection. So it's after the fact, in the moment, you might not know why you're doing it or might not realize the impact. But then you can look back and see, oh, basically, you know, that her godmother was kind of guiding you, like giving you this idea to go and do that. And that was likely very life-changing for your friend.
Completely. And I think for both of us, right? And I think maybe that kind of, I explained it, kind of been in that sleepy state where I was receptive to it as well. And again, it's about listening. You can have that thought and think, ugh, what a pain, it's Sunday morning. Why, you know, why bother? But it was almost beyond my control in that moment.
Well, yeah. And so it's because you did listen to that. And I also wonder how many times these things pop into our thoughts or pop into our mind, and maybe we do sort of miss it or we don't act upon it. And maybe there's these opportunities probably more often than we might realize.
And I think, yeah, it's about a shift of attention or a knowing. Like, I kind of feel with all these experiences I've had over time is that I expect them. And I think mm-hmm. that's why I see them, the mm-hmm. signs. And if you're not expecting them, or if you haven't made it clear that that's the kind of sign you'd like to see, for example, then you're not going to necessarily experience it or not even acknowledge it when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are many times that there's people that will tell me that they just don't see signs, they never have, or they've been, you know, they want to, but they don't see them. And I always think it's such a fine balance, because you have to expect them and you have to want them. But then there is also this other side, I think, to us when we get, as humans, sometimes we get desperate and it's like we need it to occur, and we're like almost trying to like force it or make it happen.
Yeah.
And when the energy gets too demanding, then I feel like, oh, then that doesn't work either. So it's this weird state of being open to it and receptive to it and expecting that miracles will happen, but then not trying to control the how or the where, you know, that part. I think sometimes people get in the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I think that when we get like that, where we're trying to control it, we're almost expecting it to fail.
Yeah.
So then it is going to fail, right? So
yeah, totally.
That desperation kind of, you setting it up to fail in a way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. No, that's beautiful. That's
Have you ever heard of Pam Grout?
Yes.
So have you read her E Squared?
I haven't, but I know of her.
Yeah. So Pam Grout, she wrote this fantastic book called E Squared, and it's all about the law of attraction. And it's written in very easy fun. It's actually like you laugh a lot through it. And she has these exercises, very practical exercises to play with the law of attraction. And I use this quite a lot as well when I feel like I need to feel connected, like I'm not feeling connected. And are all these signs, all the things that I think I know, are they real? When I have a crisis of some kind of faith. And one of the things she says in it is, if you're expecting to see something, then you can attract it. But you have to believe it 100%. There must be no doubt in it at all. So you suspend all disbelief for X amount of time and then ask for a sign or to see certain things. And I played around with that, with like seeing green cars, for example. Today, just for 24 hours, I want to see these bright green cars in my life. And like these bright green cars keep coming up. And then I would try, I remember once a real challenging one was, I want to see a pink car with bright flowers on it. And it manifested within the 2 years. I went through the whole day, and it can come in any form. It might be a little toy. It might be somebody talking about it. You have to be quite clear about what you want. And this particular day, I'd gone the whole day. I was like, come on. Where's my pink car? Bright pink in your face with big flowers on it. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And at 8 o'clock that evening, I'd run out of milk or something, and I went off to the store. And as I turned the corner, there was this bright pink car, huge flowers on it. And that was just like, whoa. So, yeah. And then, another cool one.
Go ahead.
Another really great one was purple butterflies, and that's another one, along with the heart, is kind of just a reminder that we are so much more than these human meat bodies. I decided I was feeling quite low, and I was feeling like I needed a nudge from spirit, just knowing that we were more than just what was going on in our lives, and I asked for a sign in the form of purple butterflies. Now, it was the middle of winter. There is no such thing, as far as I know, as a purple butterfly in real life. And anyway, I went to my day, and I was going to a meditation class for the first time that evening. And I didn't know any of the people in the class, and I was feeling quite self-conscious. And I walked into the room with my head down, kind of checking everybody out. So there was an empty chair, went and sat down in the chair. And as I lifted my head, I looked on the wall, and there were 6 or 7 purple butterflies. I was like, oh, okay, I'm in the right place. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Mm.
I love that. And it's true. Sometimes when spirit gives me signs for people, like in a reading from their loved ones. They'll show me something like that, or like something that I think there's no way they're going to see this in the literal sense. Like they're not seeing some kind of Pegasus or whatever the sign. And so sometimes I feel almost like, I don't want to say this because I don't know what they're going to think, but I always will say it. And I'll just say, trust that it doesn't have to come to you in the way that you might expect. Mm-hmm. So it could come to you in a card that someone happens to give you unexpectedly for something, or a billboard that you might see, or something that you see on an advertisement for like a movie preview or whatever. It could come in so many different forms. Absolutely. And so then it kind of opens the door to like to be surprised, almost to sort of just be, oh, I wonder how they're going to bring that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's such fun as well. I find it really exciting and fun, and to live in a way where you see things and you can interpret them, and you can, somebody else can give it to you. You can see it. I don't know. It's just these constant little reminders that we're so much more than, as I said, these human flesh bodies.
That's it. Well, and I think there's people who naturally see the world that way. And I think you and I are both those people. But there are people who really, really struggle to see the world that way. And they want, like, I'll never forget, I was doing a group reading one time, and this woman, I don't know if it was, I think it was her dad in the spirit world, was coming through, and he was giving information, and that was all good. And then I happened to see like a blue bird in my mind, like a blue jay in mm-hmm. my mind's eye. So I said, oh, and he's going to show you blue jays, like as a sign that's going to be from him to let you know that he's around you. And she said, oh, well, there you have it. We do not have blue jays in this part of the world. So that is false. And I was like, oh, dear. Oh, no. How am I going to explain this to you? So I tried to say, and I wasn't aware of that in our part of the world. We have like, now I realize they're stellar jays. I don't really know what the difference is. To me, they look the same. In my mind's eye, mm-hmm. I know what a blue jay looks like. So obviously that's what spirit's going to show me. But also I think to myself, well, how did she know that he wasn't going to show it to her in a different way? Like, absolutely. It doesn't have to be that it's so literal.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been a cap or a logo or
anything.
Yeah.
So I always think, you know, it's kind of about like what you were saying. It's what you expect. Like if you expect, there's always going to be a way to somehow make it negative if you want to, you know, but you could also, you know, look at it and be like, I wonder how he's going to arrange that. I wonder how he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that if you have that open heart when it comes to it, then you will attract those experiences that touch your heart. But if you're literally, you know, in that mindset of, you know, kind of being closed off from it, then yeah, it's going to be harder, I think, to receive those signs.
Definitely. 100%. Yeah. And so I'd like to talk about my story about my grand,
yes.
If you would.
Yes, that is
I have one more, actually, that I'd like to talk about. Yeah. So I have a little bit of a strained relationship with my father. And at the time this happened, I had been in Canada for about 4 years. And he had not once called me within those 4 years. It always been mm-hmm. me to call him. And it was a bit of a sticking point for me. And one Sunday morning, around 10 in the morning, I was on FaceTime with my mom. My parents are divorced. And I was planning to go to South Africa, actually, to go and see my gran. And this was just before COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm chatting to my mom and I'm talking about my dad, and I'm going to go and fly into South Africa, into Cape Town, and he lives about 5-hour drive away. And he was not going to come and see me in Cape Town. And I was not going to have time to go and see him. And I was a bit upset that he wasn't going to come and see me. So I'm busy talking to my mom about this. And as I'm talking to her, my phone comes up with dad calling on my phone. And I'm like, what? As I'm talking about him, he's never once called me in 4 years. So I quickly hung up on my mom and I answered. And there was not a sound on the other side. Nothing at all. Well, that's very weird. And so I went back on to my mom and I said, I don't know what happened there, but there was nobody there, but that's kind of creepy. Anyway, we carry on talking, and it happens a second time about 5 minutes later. So I think, okay, well, I better try and call him and see what's going on, because it's very unusual. So I call him and he says, oh, I didn't call you. No, I didn't call you. It wasn't me. Sorry. And actually in this retirement village, and he doesn't have a cell phone, so it's not a like a cell phone glitch kind of thing. If I had to call you, it would come up as an unknown number because it goes through a switchboard or whatever. So I don't know what happened there. Very strange. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I think nothing more of it. Kind of weird. Whatever. A week later, same Sunday morning, and I was busy chatting to my husband about it, and it was around 10 o'clock in the morning, and the phone rang again. It was my dad. Exactly at the same time.
What?
And there's nobody on the other side. Like, it's not even a beep, beep, beep or a funny sound. There, it's completely and utterly dead. Like, okay, this is weird. And we have a bit of a laugh about it. 5 minutes later, same thing again. I'm thinking, oh, this is like, okay, all right, okay. I'm trying to explain how this could have happened with the glitch, but he doesn't have a cell phone. It couldn't have happened. He doesn't even have, like, on his landline, he doesn't even have my telephone number recorded. He doesn't know how to do that. And so, like, how the hell did this happen? Week later, so this is the third week, I'm actually doing my Reiki 3 training, and I'm busy telling the other participants about this, and we all kind of like, whoa, so funny, that's so weird, how strange. And some people had some kind of intuitive feedback about that. And then 10 o'clock came, the phone rang again, and 5 minutes again later, again nothing on the other side. So I'm thinking, okay, I've got some stuff that I clearly need to sort out with my dad here about this. And then a week later, I flew out to South Africa. And now South Africa is like 9 hours ahead of us, right? And I land on the Saturday. On the Sunday morning in South Africa at 10 o'clock, my phone rang again, and it was my dad again. That wasn't my dad again. And 5 minutes later again. And then I thought, okay, well, best I pick up the phone and phone him. So I phoned and I had a conversation, and I figured out why he wasn't going to come down to Cape Town or wasn't able to. And we had a bit of a frank conversation, and I never had that call again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, you cannot explain it.
No.
With anything logical.
If anybody does have any explanation, please let me know. But that was,
It does not make any sense other than it was energetic and it was definitely spirit at work, you know?
Definitely, yeah. I really felt like it was his parents who are both in spirit, and
Wow. And I also feel too, it's interesting that it happened that way, but also it was always the same time and the same day.
Crazy. Yeah.
Sunday morning seems to you quite significant.
Like, it's I mean, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in South Africa is like middle of night on a Saturday. So it's not even adjusted for the time difference.
Right. Just
crazy.
Yeah.
Really crazy.
So, wow. I mean, yeah, that is in itself, like, that is not something that happens every day. And so I think it's definitely fair to say that's huge. Wow.
Yeah. And then, and the main story that you wanted to chat about, I'm sorry, I'm warbling on about all these things, I get so excited about them.
It's so good.
So my maternal grandparents, my grandfather passed away when I was about 16 or 17 years old. And an interesting thing around his death was about the African violet. He was a big plant person, and he'd given an African violet to some friends a couple of years before his, or a year before his death or something like that. And he tried absolutely everything to get this thing to flower. And it was something that he had real green fingers. It was his life. And he could not get this thing to flower. And it was real, it annoyed him that he couldn't get it to flower. Right. And he'd try all these different things. And on the day that he passed away, the plant flowered for the very first time. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And when he passed away, my cousins were with him, and they actually dropped to the ground. He had a stroke, I think, in the end. And they dropped to the ground and fell asleep on the ground when it happened. So that was pretty... weird. Anyway, I was really close to my grandparents. I basically spent the first year of my life with them, and they lived in a small town in the northeast of South Africa called Barberton on a farm. And my grandmother passed away last year, in January last year. And we were very, very close throughout her life. And she collected owls. So she had this owl collection in her retirement home, and we don't really know whether she liked owls or if she once mentioned that she liked owls and everybody just kept giving her owls. I don't know, but yeah, she had quite a collection. And so owls naturally became a kind of sign from. And so when she passed away, I was walking. She'd always wanted to come and visit me in Canada. She was, I think she was 97 when she passed away, so it wasn't going to happen. But no. When she passed away, I kind of felt like I'd take her for a walk with me when I'd walk my dog and show her around. And I almost felt like she was almost behind my eyes. I don't know how I can explain that.
Yes.
And we had this, we have this one particular wooded area near our house where I take my dog. And one day I was walking there and I was chatting away to her in my head. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I had to see a sign from you right now? And as I kind of had this thought, I stepped on something and I looked down and there was this painted rock. Somebody had painted a rock with an owl on it. I thought, oh, this is really cool. So I obviously took that home and it's now in my front garden. And then the second time I did that a few days later and I was like, oh, I'll have a sign again, getting very demanding. And I go to that same wooded area and I'm like thinking to myself, and then my second thought is, oh, you're being so demanding. Obviously, you've just seen one. Why do you want another one? I'm having this whole conversation in my head and I look up and there's a live owl in the tree.
Oh, yeah, so perfect.
Perfect. So I was like, okay, I'll stop asking you now. I'll try and stop asking you for signs now. I know that you're there. So those were kind of two background stories. Pink roses also landed up being a sign that was connected to her. I started seeing a lot of, I'm not a pink person and I'm not a rose person. So this is very unusual for me. But I started seeing roses when I was giving Reiki treatments around people. And then I would see them in the line out, the checkout while at the supermarket, or I'd see them like in all these different places. I had a neighbor who brought me a potted rose bush with pink roses, like not even somebody I know who knew anything about anything, but these roses just kept appearing. And then I found out that my mother had given my grandmother a rose bush, a pink rose bush, a potted one, and it had never flowered either, never flowered. So on the one year, who knows, on the 1 year anniversary of her death, my aunt, one of my aunts had this rose bush. The 1 year anniversary of her death, it bloomed for the first time. And on the day that it bloomed for the first time, there were five or six owls that congregated outside my aunt's house and were having this party outside her house. So that was pretty insane too.
Well, I've never seen five owls together in my life.
I know. And this is not an owl year. She doesn't live in a wood. She lives near the beach kind of thing. It was very unusual. Yeah.
And especially in conjunction with.
I know.
And also with the roses at the same time. And like all of those things have to come together.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about it now and I've got a big grin on my face and I just think, well, this is kind of weird and amazing and strange and obvious and just, I don't know, unbelievable, unbelievable. I don't know, all the words.
Yeah, because it's not only that it happened, but then you have to think about in that moment what that feeling is like. Because I think in that moment when you notice, you actually feel spirit with you. Like that sort of like wonder and that feeling of awe. That's what it feels like when spirit is connecting with you. So it's such a precious, amazing, beautiful gift.
And as you're saying that, I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah. There's nothing like it. And I think it's hard to explain to someone unless they've been in that moment and had that experience as well. But yeah, so I mean, five owls. that's pretty
crazy.
Amazing. And then, but then it goes on from there, wasn't there? Also?
That wasn't the, but wait, that's not all. Yeah. So I think that they got a little tired of me constantly asking for signs. And so, I don't know, it was in January sometime, I had taken my eldest son, to an appointment, and the appointment was going to be an hour long. And I thought, oh, I can wait in the car, or I can go wander around the Valley Village that's nearby. So off I went to the thrift store. And so I walk into the thrift store and I look in the beginning section, I think is books, and then it has all the ornaments and kitchen stuff or whatever. So I'm walking up and down the aisles and I'm walking up and down the aisles and I lay my hands on this pair of owls. And I think, oh, hi, Grand, because I always do that when I see you. I just kind of say that. And this whole sequence that I'm about to say, tell you, probably happened in the space of, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes. So I look at the owls, and I think she even had owls like that because they looked very familiar to me. Look at the owls. And then I look one shelf up to the right, and I see this very kitsch pink rose thing. I don't even know what it was. And I grinned to myself because I'm thinking, oh, owls and pink roses. That's my grand. So I'm going, hi, grand, in my head, just chuckling to myself. And I'm thinking, oh, it's how strange it is that these two signs of, you know, being my grand signs. And I walk to the end of the aisle and look up right in front of me. And there is this painting of an owl sitting on these pink roses in one picture. And bringing it together. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's kind of funny. And I kind of chuckled to myself and I'm like, okay, what's next? And I walk down the next aisle and I see this sign, like a sign for a place. And it says Barberton on it. Now, have you ever heard of Barberton?
No.
It's not a London. It's not a New York. It's not a Vancouver even. Barberton. And Barberton is the town that my grandparents lived in and brought their family up in, and that I lived in the beginning. Like the most insane. It's not on a shelf that has 20 different signs for different cities around the world. It is Barberton. And okay. I'm like, okay, now somewhere between wanting to shout at everybody in the store and just complete disbelief and like wanting to cry because at this point, the feeling is very overwhelming because that is not something that you can explain away. The pink roses and the owls, I could have explained away with my mental mind. This sign, I could not have.
No, that's a very specific and literal sign.
Absolutely. Insane.
Like that is just, that is insane. Like that doesn't, there is no way that
no.
we can.
I mean, like, you could have slapped me in the face with it. They may as well have appeared before me at that point.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, feeling a little tear, you know, I'm biting my lip and fighting back the tears. And I'm like, well, what is it that you know, trying to say here? And I turn around. Now, in these moments, I'm going from one object to the next. I'm not looking on the shelves for things. It's just eyes going dick, dick, dick to each place. And I turn around and there is this pink teapot with pink roses on it, and it says love and amour on it. By the stage, I'm kind of shaky. And So, okay. All right. I feel very loved. And I kind of walk through the rest of the store in a bit of a daze, and I walk over to the furniture section. And this last piece is quite overwhelming. When I was growing up and my grandfather was still alive, at our birthdays, he would always decorate our chairs with flowers. And I always felt like such a special child, having like a princess, having all these flowers decorating my chair. And I remember them being red roses. And then we'd have the party and the cake and the whatever that my grandma had made. So I walk to the furniture section, and there in the furniture section, kid-sized wooden chair, and on the back, somebody has stapled pink roses and red roses. And then I was like, I'm out of here. I actually had to go leave. I had to leave. I had to sit in my car and just try and figure out what the hell had just happened.
It's enough. Like, it's so actually even just emotional just listening to it, because it makes me feel like how much love they have for you, and that they basically somehow managed to orchestrate and arrange this for you. Huge. And then you listened, and then with every sign it kind of gives you this extra boost. It gives you more belief, and then so then you go to the next thing, and it's like you went into another world.
Yeah.
And then you went into Valley Village, and then you like walked out.
And I was not asking for signs. I was not expecting that. It was a total shock, actually. I felt like I was in shock.
Yes, because that is literally life-changing.
Yeah.
That whole experience. And just the fact that it was a child's chair.
Yeah.
And it didn't just have the pink roses. It had also... Mm-hmm. Roses, which is for your grandfather.
That's crazy. It was like, and who goes and, I don't know, staples, glues roses onto the back of a chair? It was a homemade thing. It wasn't a, who does that? And why would it be there at that particular moment? And I just took it as like, okay, well, I'll stop asking for signs now. I think I've got everything I need. They've shouted at me. They've told me, what more do you need? This is
loud and clear. Yeah. Like, what else could you even ever ask for? I think so many people will be so inspired by this, but there's also going to be people that'll be so salty.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, oh, you know,
what about me?
Where's my like experience like this? But I would say that shopping trip, it's kind of, I mean, it's, I don't want to say once in a lifetime because I don't want to limit it, but it is very, very special. Like, that's just something that I think you'll always keep in your heart. You'll always remember. And there's no, like, there's nobody that can take that from you. No. That you'll always have. Yeah. And it's a testament to their love. I think that the love that you share with them, that's what facilitated that.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. And I don't want to take away from anybody else's love that they have. I think that in my particular case, I've been open to signs since I was very young, and I've built this up over time. And I think that that is an opportunity that everybody has.
Yes.
And it is super special. And it might just be, it might be just one sign. It might not be the amount that I've had in my particular case, but even one little thing is just so, when you know it, you know it.
Yeah, it's miraculous.
Yeah.
It's miraculous every single time. And so I really think that it's this partnership. It always comes back to this for me when people are asking about stuff to do with spirit. And I always think that it's on their part. We owe so much to them because of how much they have to orchestrate and how much energy it must take. And they're so clever in figuring out how to make things happen.
Yeah.
And then our part, it also is our awareness, and it's our willingness to be open and receptive. Mm-hmm. And it's our trusting in ourselves and trusting in spirit that allows that to work. So they put in that effort, and they show up, and then we show up, and then that's when these magical things occur.
It's a lot of work on both sides, I think, without even, you know, maybe realizing it. It's not just a case of, deliver. Mm-hmm. It's about all the things coming together. Definitely the work on both sides.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's just incredible. Just all that whole, and the fact that it was only within a few minutes that this was happening.
It's a whirlwind, total whirlwind.
Like, you would just probably be like so confused, but also very grateful and like touched, but then also like, am I in the twilight zone? Like, what is this? What is happening?
Yeah. No. And then, I mean, your mind just gets in the way. It's so annoying. You try and explain those things away. And I think in this particular case, I didn't do a very good job of explaining it away. If it had just been the owls and maybe a pink rose here and there, I would have gone, yeah, okay. Yeah, it was the additional things. I think the sign and the chair, especially, those were the ones that I can't explain away. I can't just say it was a coincidence. I can't just say it was synchronicity or whatever. It was.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, too, how many times maybe these things are there for us and we just haven't noticed.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
So I think it's very, very important to to talk about it and to share that story so that other people can not only be inspired by it, so also they can recognize what is possible, you know, Absolutely. That these types of things can happen. So I really thank you for sharing that, all of that. I think it's just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Listening to it, it is such a healer. I just did listen to the story because you can kind of feel the love in that. So that's why I love reading the Chicken Soup for the Soul, you know, those books, because it's all these collections of stories like that. I love the ones about angels, the ones about signs from, you know, spirit and miracles and all that stuff, because it is really, really uplifting. And sometimes if I'm feeling kind of disheartened or I'm feeling a bit like down, I will just pick up one of those books and just read about those stories, and I always feel better. It always makes me feel hopeful again.
Yeah, I have to agree. It kind of makes you remember that you're never alone. You're always supported. You're always loved.
Yes, exactly.
And I love hearing those stories. And as I said, after I posted my blog about it, and not a lot of people knew that I'd had these experiences. I'd had so many people coming to me with their own stories, and some of them are just mind-blowing. So there's a lot happening.
Yeah. Well, one thing I would recommend to anyone listening, and of course, I'm so glad you put your blog together, because that way you've got it recorded. I think it is really important to write them down. Because one thing I wish I would have started doing earlier, because sometimes things like this will happen. Mm. It happens in my life, but also to do with readings and stuff and with clients. And these things will happen, and I'm so taken and so moved by it. But then I don't necessarily write it down, or I don't make a point of recording it. And then later on, I'll think back and I'm like, oh, what was that? What was it again? Like, what was the sign? Or what exactly happened with that? So I think it's good to have a little, almost like a little journal or something, where you can record these little nudges. And Absolutely. It's like a collection of miracles, a collection of these signs and synchronicities.
And really awesome to read back on them, you know, when you're having a moment.
Yes, exactly. Because then it's all there, and you can remind yourself that although the world is full of all kinds of, you know, challenges and suffering at times, it's also full of all these miracles, you know? Yeah. So it is.
You must have a ton of stories too.
I mean, there's a ton, but it's like, I think I've been thinking recently how I would like to sit down one day and actually put them together, like make a collection somehow of writing it down, because otherwise it just escapes me. I feel like my mind is too full to keep track of all of it, but I would love to like,
I always go back to your bubble story.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's so whimsical and perfect, and I feel with the bubble, it's basically like such a childlike, like inner child almost feeling, like, oh, just when I need that upliftment, then it just appears.
You know, just a bubble floating next to me in the car.
That's always when I'm driving, always in the car, and always when I'm having like an emotional breakdown. So it's kind of amazing that spirit's so like, it's okay. Like, we're right here. There's things like that that you just think, okay, like the synchronicity involved is just amazing. Yeah.
Life is fun. It's an adventure.
Definitely. And so I wanted to also ask you a bit about the work that you're doing, because I know we will be seeing each other at the end of May at the Healing with Spirits workshop. I'm super excited, because it's been a long while since we've been able to come together in that way, to gather, you know, a group of people. And I think that the healing aspect of this work is really, really, it's always been needed, but I think right now people are really craving it that much.
And there's nothing like the energy that's created when a group comes together.
That's it. Yeah, there's something so powerful about it. So I'm looking forward to it. Chat with us a little bit about your work with the healing arts.
Yeah, so, well, I do a number of different things, which is why I say healing arts. I practice reflexology, which I've done for a long time, and and Reiki, and then I do something called access bars as well. And I've just recently started up with my Ayurvedic head massages again after COVID. So that's, yeah, that's hugely exciting. And I've just also qualified as a counselor. So somehow all of that stuff is going to come together. But my most favorite part is energetic healing. And as I practice more and more Reiki, it just becomes stronger and stronger. And again, it's that same sense of wonder that I get after every single session as to what shifts and what comes out of it. It's just, it really is magical.
It is. There's nothing like it. And yeah. I'm so excited that we're going to be able to offer this basically like kind of like a group circle, like an energy healing for the group in the workshop. So that will be phenomenal. And then also, yeah, like some tips and some tools for people to use as far as energy management goes, which I think will be really, really useful for everyone.
Well, what I really find the most useful, it's great to read and to have your handouts and whatever, but it's the experience of it, that of anything, I think, is where we learn the most, and especially when it comes to energy. So I'd really like to be able to practical things into how to feel different kinds of energies and in different kinds of ways, and see how we're all quite individual in the way we experience things.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I'm so grateful that you'll be there. And then we'll have Cassandra, who's going to be offering some work with spirit, but working through creativity, you know, for an inspiration.
Yeah. So such a great combination.
It'll be super fun. And then I'll be kind of assisting in that. And then also doing a bit of work with people to feel their own loved ones in spirit and connecting with them in that way. So I think it'll be a full day of tons of healing, tons of connection. And so if anyone listening is interested, do reach out. I can put the link to the event in the show notes, and also let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, I guess the best place is either on Facebook, Jackie Reflexology, and same thing for Instagram. And then I have a website, which is Jackie Reflexology, and Jackie is JACQUI.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, I thank you so much for coming and for sharing all of this with us. It's just like brilliant, amazing, beautiful. And I can't wait to hear what people think, you know, what they have to say.
Oh, I'd love to hear everybody's stories. Yeah.
So maybe what we'll do is if you're in the Facebook group, the Spirit Room Podcast group, then, and you listen, please do post your stories, post your signs that you've received in there. And if you're not in the group, feel free to look it up, and you just request to join, and I'll approve you. And we can share. And is it true you have some photos of some of the signs, some of the owls?
Yeah, on my website, on the blog page, I actually took some photographs and added them in, so you can have a look at that.
Nice. Yeah. And maybe I'll see if there's any way we can post one of them the group or something, just for people to see. But I love it so much. So I really thank you. And we'll leave it there. But thanks everyone for listening. Keep in touch. Yeah, definitely. And have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you for letting me share all my crazy. Take care.
thanks, Melissa.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the show, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or feel free to leave a rating and a review. You can follow me on Instagram at Melissa White Medium, or on Facebook, Psychic Medium Melissa White. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.